We're glad you're here tonight in this Christmas Eve service and celebration of Jesus, because that is why we're here. He is the reason for the season, and He is why we have gathered here tonight, so that we can celebrate the good news of Jesus Christ together. And one of the most evangelical songs that's written in the hymn book happens to be a Christmas song, and it's Hark the Herald Angels Sing. I'm going to invite you to stand to start off the service tonight with this great carol of the faith, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. The first Noel, and then Reverend Raymond Hartman from the Holiness Church in Metcalf will come up here, try not to set himself on fire, and open in prayer. Unless it's revival fire, brother.
In His presence, let's bow before Him and worship Him. Lord, we have seen Your light shining in our darkness, and it draws us. It draws us into Your presence.
Yes, Lord.
To fall on our knees before Your manger and to thank You for coming to deliver us, to save us, to lead us, to be our King. Our Savior forever. Thank You, Jesus. We give You ourselves. We give You our lives. We give You our praise. We give our all. For You alone are worthy. Take us, Lord. As we worship You this evening, may we receive anew and afresh from You. That new life that You came to give. We want to live in You as You live in us. That we too might shine in the darkness. Shine for You. Thank You for blessing us with Your presence. Draw us near, near to Your side. We pray in Christ's powerful, wonderful name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight.
Our next Christmas carol is O Little Town of Bethlehem. We're going to sing that, and then automatically people know where they're going to be on the roster, and so they're going to come up and just begin singing, doing their readings. You'll also notice that we have Hanukkah candles. We have a menorah, and this is the first night of Hanukkah, as well as being Christmas Eve. And so in our Christmas Eve service, we have merged some of those texts. And even though you only light one candle per night of Hanukkah. We're going to condense it all together and merge it with our Christmas Eve service. And so we'll be lighting all of the Hanukkah candles. And then let it be the light that grows tonight as the light of prophecy and the light of the Word and the light of revelation of the Holy Spirit as we sing continues on. So we're going to sing that song. Then Danny Shea is going to come, and she has a reading that she has prepared for us tonight and for the Lord, because it's her gift that she created for Jesus tonight. Let's sing. Remain seated as we sing O Little Town.
There is life without letdown. Rush hour, expiry dates, regulations, and qualifications. The crown will never tarnish in the kingdom of God. He paid for peace that did not leave with his body. The great battlefield you step upon rests, for the soldiers are gone, and you've marched all this way in search of the promises that come with triumph. But the vanity of your journey is found in your first footprint, for you had the inheritance then and will forevermore. The vast ocean you struggle to swim through, storms and crashes as you cry quietly, where is this Jesus to calm the waves and rescue me? But God is more than a life preserver. If you want an island of grace, look no further. War and great waters arise, but the lies you tell yourself and hear around you are drowned by the battle cry, whom shall I fear? Because the blind saw by his will, and their sight remains, be still. And know the king of the world will come back on his steed, and until he does, the mission is guaranteed. Stop fighting for freedom. He's already won the land. Stop swimming for the shoreline when you only need to stand on the rock who built nation upon nation, who has been before creation. He was peace before the invention of war, the crash of the sea, and he will always be peace.
The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Shall he break, for the slave is a brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born, oh, night divine, oh, night, oh, night divine.
Just a few generations before the birth of Jesus, an event happened that foreshadowed the coming light of the world. The Jewish people were being oppressed as the Roman rulers attempted to assimilate the Jewish culture into their own. In the temple in Jerusalem, pigs were sacrificed on the altar, and priests who served a multitude of Greek and Roman gods were assigned to serve in the holy place. A rebellion occurred, and the temple was reclaimed. However, there was only a small amount of consecrated oil left, and lamps in the temple were supposed to be lit every night to signify the presence of God. It took 8 days for new oil to be prepared properly. Yet, the lamps remained lit. The oil lasted until the new oil was ready. This miracle is still celebrated in the Jewish culture today. In fact, tonight is the first night of the Feast of Dedication, the Festival of Lights, which we know as Hanukkah. Why on Christmas Eve, in a Christian church, would we be talking about a Jewish holiday? Well, the one we've come to celebrate was a Jew. He celebrated this holiday every year. The Gospel of John records that it was during this festival that Jesus is questioned about who he is. Verse 22 says, "Then came the feast of Hanukkah at Jerusalem. It was winter. Jesus was in the temple courtyard walking in Solomon's porch. The Jews who were gathered there around Jesus spoke to him. They said, 'How long will you keep us waiting? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly.'" More than 600 years before Jesus was born, God was whispering his promises of the Messiah into the ears of his prophets. As we light the candles of the menorah,
We will hear the prophets of the Old Testament proclaim the prophecies of the coming Messiah. And we will hear the authors of the New Testament, Gospels, record the fulfillment of these prophecies. The middle candle of the menorah is known as the Shamash, the servant candle. It is used to light all the other candles, just as Jesus, our servant Savior, lights our faith. Tonight, as we light the candles of prophecy and fulfillment, may we hear with renewed wonder. As we celebrate his birth, may Jesus light the candle of your faith. May it shine brighter and brighter as you draw ever closer to your Savior.
Virgin birth, prophecy, and fulfillment. The prophecy of the virgin birth was found in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
The fulfillment of the virgin birth prophecy was recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 to 23. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us.
We're talking so much tonight about the birth of Christ, and really, you know, it's a rescue mission, a plan that was put into place so that all of us would have the chance to be reborn. And so tonight we're going to sing Christ Was Born in Bethlehem.
Christ was born in Bethlehem. Christ was born in Bethlehem. Christ was born in Bethlehem and in a manger lay. And in a manger lay. And in a manger lay. Christ was born in Bethlehem and in a manger lay. The men they crucified him. The men they crucified him. The men they crucified him, they nailed him to the cross. They nailed him to the cross. They nailed him to the cross. The men they crucified him, they nailed him to the cross. Joseph begged his body. Joseph begged his body. Joseph begged his body. He laid him in the tomb. He laid him in the tomb. He laid him in the tomb. Joseph begged his body. He laid him in the tomb. The tomb, it could not hold him. The tomb, it could not hold him. The tomb, it could not hold him. He burst the bands of death. He burst the bands of death. He burst the bands of death. The tomb, it could not hold him. He burst the bands of death. Christ was born in Bethlehem. Christ was born in Bethlehem. Christ was born in Bethlehem and in a manger lay.
Born in Bethlehem, prophecy and fulfillment. The prophet Micah foresaw that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, as recorded in Micah chapter 5, verses 2 and 4. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you were little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. The Messiah was born in Bethlehem, the fulfillment of this prophecy told in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judea. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'"
Decorated up for Christmas. All the stores are open late tonight. People hurry through the frozen streets. I take a walk. Every child has a thousand wishes. Every window has a thousand lights. Every soul has a need for peace. I take a walk.
Before the Lamb, good news for every man.
walk through Bethlehem.
The prophets knew that the Messiah was to be a descendant of the royal line of David. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 says, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." And in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 to 16, the prophet Nathan told David what God promised. "When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever."
This prophecy was fulfilled and recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 1 to 17. This is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram. Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon. Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon the father of Rehoboam, Rehoboam the father of Ajib. Ajib the father of Asa, Asa the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the father of Jehoram, Jehoram, the father of Uzziah, Uzziah, the father of Jotham, Jotham, the father of Ahaz, Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah, Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh, Manasseh, the father of Amon, Amon, the father of Josiah, Josiah, the father of Jeconiah, and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel the father of Abudid, Abudid the father of Elkiam, Elkiam the father of Azor, Azor the father of Zadok, Zadok the father of Akim, Akim the father of Elad, Elad the father of Elazar, Elazar the father of Matan, Matan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, and Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. Thus, there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah.
When you're opening those presents underneath the Christmas tree, remember me. And when you're setting out those cookies for Santa Claus to eat, I was born in a manger on a cold December night, with shepherds and three wise men underneath the stars so bright. The son of a lonely carpenter from down in Galilee. Christmas lights for the neighborhood to see. Remember me when you're gathered round the table with all your family. Cause I walk from town to town without a place to lay my head. I even fed 5,000 with just a loaf of bread. And I helped the lame to walk again. I made the blind man see. I was only in my 30s when they led me up that hill. With tears in my eyes I cried, but I did my father's will. And there upon a cross of wood I died to set you free. Underneath the Christmas tree, remember me.
Rejection, resurrection, prophecy, and fulfillment. The Messiah would be rejected and then resurrected. The prophets foretold this in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 to 12. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death. Though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong,
because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors.
This last scripture reading brings us into the communion table. The songs tonight have been just so inspirational, and the readings. It's been phenomenal, because it doesn't just talk about, all those songs don't just talk about his birth, but about his sacrifice. And here's the scripture that may not sound so Christmassy, but it's what it's all about. In the Gospel of Matthew, it says this, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" Pilate answered. They answered him, "Crucify him." "Why? What wrong has he done?" asked Pilate. But they shouted even louder, "Crucify him." Pilate saw that he wasn't getting anywhere. Instead, the crowd was starting to get angry, so he took water and washed his hands in front of them. "I am not guilty of this man's death," he said. "You are accountable for that." All the people answered, "Put the blame for his death on us and upon our children." Pilate let Barabbas go free. But he had Jesus whipped, and then he handed him over to be nailed to a cross. The governor's soldiers took Jesus into the palace, which was called the Praetorium. All the rest of the soldiers gathered around him. They took off his clothes, and they put purple robe on him. They twisted thorns together to make a crown. They placed it upon his head. They put a stick in his right hand. They fell down on their knees in front of him and made fun of him. "We honor you as King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him. They hit him on the head. They struck him again and again. After they had made fun of him, they took off the robe and they put his own clothes back on him, and they led him away to nail him to a cross. On their way out of the city, they met a man from Cyrene. His name was Simon, and they forced him to carry his cross. They came to a place called Golgotha. The word Golgotha means a place of the skull. They were mixed wine with bitter spices, and they gave it to Jesus to drink. And after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had nailed him to the cross, they divided up his clothes and cast his lots. They sat down and kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him, and it read this: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two rebels against Rome were crucified with him. One was on his right and one was on his left. Those who passed by shouted at Jesus and made fun of him. They shook their heads and said, "So you are going to destroy the temple and build it up in 3 days. Save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers, and the law and the elders made fun of him. "He saved others. Well, why can't he save himself? If he really is the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross. Then we may believe in him." "He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. He's the one who said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the rebels who were on being crucified with him also made fun of him. From noon until 3 o'clock, the whole land was covered with darkness. About 3 o'clock, Jesus cried with a loud voice and said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of those standing there heard Jesus cry out. They said, "He's calling for Elijah." Right away, one of them ran and got a sponge and filled it with wine and vinegar and put it on a stick and offered it up to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes and save him." After Jesus cried out again in a loud voice, he died. At that moment, the temple curtain was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised up again unto life. They came out of the tombs. After Jesus was raised from the dead, they went into the holy city. There they appeared to many people later on. The Roman commander and those guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, and they were terrified and they exclaimed, "Surely this was the Son of God." Not very far away, many women were watching. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to take care of his needs. Mary Magdalene was among them. Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, also was there. So was the mother of Zebedee's sons. As evening approached, a rich man came from the town of Arimathea. His name was Joseph. He had become a follower of Jesus. He went to Pilate, begged for his body, and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and placed it in his own new tomb that had been cut out of the rock, never used. They rolled a big stone in front of the entrance of the tomb, and he went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there across from the tomb. The Sabbath day was now over. It was the dawn of the first day of the week. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went and looked in the tomb, and there was a powerful earthquake. An angel of the Lord came down from heaven. The angel went to the tomb. He rolled back the stone and sat upon it. His body shone like the lightning. His clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said unto the woman, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. Just as he said he would. Come and see the place where he was laying. Go quickly. Tell his disciples. He is risen from the dead. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the woman hurried away from the tomb, and they were afraid, but they were filled with joy. And they ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings," he said. And they came to him. They took hold of his feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to the Galilee. And there they will see me again." The gift that Jesus gives us is the gift of himself. At Christmas time, this particular is, of course, on the Sabbath day ending and coming into the first day of the week. And tomorrow morning, as things happen to work out in this particular season of Hanukkah and Christmas Eve and everything coming together, tomorrow morning, the first day of the week, what are we going to do? We're going to say, "Happy birthday, Jesus." We're going to celebrate the risen and resurrected Jesus on the Lord's Day, Sunday morning. And at the same time, open presents likely and celebrate with one another the birth of our Savior. The story is incomplete without all the parts. The birth, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let us celebrate his gift to us, the gift of himself, as we celebrate Holy Communion today, as we gather together to remember that Christ has given himself. And as we, in our custom, we change things here, there, and all of the time, but on Christmas Eve, usually, we do a coming forward for communion. We don't care what church you're from. We don't care what your background is. Everybody is welcome. It's the table of the Lord. You may come and grab a piece, take a piece of bread representing his body and take a cup representing his precious blood. You can kneel at the altar rail, or you can stand, or maybe as a couple or as families, you can take in a little corner or somehow gather and then receive the elements together as you wish. Or you can go back to your seat and sit there and ponder. You know, at one time, you'll take that little piece of bread and look at it, and at one time, Jesus was that size. At one time in Mary's womb, he was just that big. What does he mean to you? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, then he means everything to you. And Christmas is a great time for you to celebrate his life in you. Let us approach the table with a prayer of contrition. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us. Lord, whether it's been a good year for 2016 or whether it's been a really hard year. Father, there have been times where we have not treated our family the way we should have. There are times that in our busyness we have stepped over those that have less than we have and we have not been compassionate for their needs. Lord, we have lived our life in this free country of ours and enjoyed the benefits of this nation, and we have perhaps not even thought about those that are suffering as refugees or in war-torn areas or places of poverty. Or even in this nation of such privilege and such bounty, Lord, perhaps we have overlooked those in the far corners and maybe not so far away corners of our community that were crying out for help, and our life was just too full for us to hear their cry. Lord, forgive us. Father, at this time, perhaps, Lord, we have not thought of you. Lord, as the songs have been sung in this place tonight, perhaps, Lord, we have neglected to think about you in our daily life. And that, Lord, we ask your forgiveness. Lord, tonight we pray, knowing that you, Lord God, cleanse and forgive, and you wash away all stain because of your precious blood at Calvary. Lord, we thank you for that, and that assurance that we can walk in wholeness and truth and holiness. Thank you, Lord, for your restoration power and for your gift. Born in a manger, died on a cross, and coming after a resurrection glorious, coming again. In Christ's name, amen. All who are here are called to come. Pastor Jerry, if you would come at this time. We have bread and wine. Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, did take bread, and when he had break it, he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." He also took the cup, and he said, "This is my blood, which was shed for you." And he called upon us to eat and drink at his table. Sing as we gather for communion, Silent Night, Holy Night. Just come into the center aisle and then back on the side aisles if you could. Merry Christmas.